From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla Deroche. Coming up this week, Bristol Bay attracts floods of people from all over the world with its promise of sockeye salmon, but one beach remains a home base for a local fishing family. And it's signs against sea squirts when a journalist joins divers to discover how they're trying to get rid of an invasive species called Devex. That and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And by
commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
During the summer, the population of Bristol Bay explodes with people from all over the world. They're looking to play a part in the largest sockeye return in the world. Many of these strangers crew on drift boats or work at a cannery, but there is one beach in the Nooshigak Bay that remains a home to local family operations. KDLG's Matt Martin reports.
Ani White sprinkles rosemary, among other spices, over two whole chickens. She's preparing dinner for her fishing crew.
We eat pretty good around here. I like to cook, definitely.
Along with the chicken, fresh green salad and corn on the cob are on the menu tonight. Ani prepares the meal in one of the half dozen cabins her family owns on Ikuk Beach. About 20 other families have similar cabins all along the beach. There are a few close friends that fish alongside with Ani, but it's mostly a family operation. Ani is in her mid-20s and lives in Anchorage now, but says it's a family reunion each summer at the small fish camp.
During the year, we're all different places, going to school, and so we usually only come together Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then, of course, in the summertime for Ikuk, so fishing.
Ani is the oldest and has sort of taken over as head of the camp. Her father, John Bowker, is a pilot in Dillingham. He's been fishing since the 70s, but now that his kids are older, for the most part, he lets them do all the work.
My wife and I keep none of the money from the fishing itself for these kids' college and for their education and their endeavors.
He flew over from Dillingham earlier in the day to drop off some supplies and fix the fridge. He says fishing on Ikuk is unique for Bristol Bay, with satellite television and a nightly steam bath. He says fishing here is like a vacation. Not really work.
Out here you throw your net out like you see out in front. We're not sitting out in a boat beating around out there. Look at those boats beating around out there. Does that look like any fun? No, I did that when I was a kid. That's no fun. Those guys ain't having no fun.
Ani leaves the chicken in the oven to cook. The tide is on its way out and it's time to pull the nets. Heavy winds and rains greet this fishing family as they leave their cabins to retrieve their nets from the bay. While most fishing in Bristol Bay involves pulling a heavy net over the stern or bow of a boat, things are done differently here in Ikuk. No need for a boat on this beach. A highway of trucks and four-wheelers move up and down the beach. Unlike set net sites on other beaches in Bristol Bay, the fishermen in Ikuk use pickup trucks and a pulley system to drag their nets out of the water. Ani directs all the work from the cab of her pickup truck.
Help Donna when it's down here! She needs help! Somebody, one person!
Ani's sister Jana wears two sweatshirts under her rain gear to stay warm as she works the net out of the water. Another crew member joins her to attach the net to the winch on the front of the truck. The truck begins to back up and the net slowly slides out of the water. Jana's been working these nets her entire life, and she has picking the fish out down to a science.
When the web is, like, by the head, you just pull it over the head. But if the web is over, like, the back tail, then you just pull it through.
The bed of the trucks have all been modified to hold a slush of seawater and ice. Their catch goes into that icy brine, and they drive it up to the cannery about a mile up the beach. Like a lot of fishermen, Ani thought the season was going to be a dud. But the late push changed that. She says this time last year, they had already packed up all their gear.
Yeah, we thought we weren't going to get any fish, and here we're going on more fish than we got last season, so be happy about that.
Ani White has a plan. She plans on being back at Ikuk Beach each and every summer, leading the way for the next generation of family fishermen.
As long as there's fish and as long as the cannery's open, as long as there's someone to buy my fish, I'm going to be down here. So definitely a lifelong Ikuk resident.
After dinner, the crew heads off to the steam baths before bed. The tide turns early in the morning, and another day of fishing will soon begin. For KDLG, I'm Matt Martin.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
The window of opportunity to prevent grave ecological damage to our oceans from climate change is closing. That's according to a paper appearing in the prominent journal Science. Northwest News Network correspondent Tom Bonzi reports from Olympia, Washington.
Your typical scientist tends to shy away from politics, but it's a short leap from science to policy when it comes to climate change. In this case, 22 marine science researchers from 9 countries collaborated to analyze scenarios for future life in the ocean in clear, stark terms. They published in a science journal, but University of Washington professor Ryan Kelly says the ultimate target audience is political decision makers and climate treaty negotiators.
If we keep putting CO2 in the atmosphere at the rate we're doing now, it becomes a really different ocean in this century. You know, this isn't about our descendants way down the line. This is about our kids and our grandkids.
The analysis describes a wide range of possible responses, but notes the consensus view is that immediate and substantial reduction of global warming pollution is required no matter what. I'm Tom Bonsi reporting.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The state of Alaska is going to war against an invasive species in Sitka, and its weapon is science. Earlier this summer, the State Department of Fish and Game and the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center developed a concept for fighting an invasive sea squirt known as DVEX in Sitka's Whiting Harbor. In July, they deployed dive teams for a full-scale test. Their objective? To kill off this organism before it affects any other Alaskan waters. KCAW's Robert Woolsey recently spent a day doing battle with DVEX and filed this report.
Whiting Harbor is not a big patch of water, but it's big enough for DVEX, or Didemnum vexillum, to have gotten a toehold in Alaska. And it's not letting go. DVEX likely hitched a ride to Sitka over a decade ago on equipment for an oyster farm. That oyster farm is long gone, but DVEX has spread to the seafloor, and there's nothing really to stop it except Tammy Davis.
That sounds great. We're going to spike this chlorine, take a sample, and then we'll come find him.
Davis is a sport fish biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game who's leading the effort to eradicate DVEX. The invasive sea squirt has blanketed the seafloor in once productive fishing grounds on the U.S. eastern seaboard, creating underwater deserts. That's exactly what Davis doesn't want to see happen in Alaska.
Yeah, that guy was just perched right up on top of the D-Vex, way happier there than anywhere else.
She takes me aboard her dive skiff, one of 3 working test plots in Whiting Harbor. The boat is piloted by Cody Jacobson, a sport fish biologist from Palmer. The divers are Scott Forbes, a commercial fisheries biologist from Juneau, and Jeff Mucci, a dive safety officer with Fish and Wildlife. In the next boat are 2 more Comfish divers and a representative from the Bureau of Land Management, which owns the tidelands in Whiting Harbor. The third skiff is manned by 2 scientists from the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center. For a state that's having trouble making ends meet, a lot of money is going into stopping DVEX. Davis says it's a deliberate choice.
In terms of invasive species, whether they're terrestrial, freshwater, aquatic, or marine, there's always that question of, do you invest money today to prevent having to spend a lot more money later to deal with a larger problem?
Because several agencies are involved, Davis doesn't have an exact number. Somewhere in the 6-figure range, certainly. DVEX eradication was funded in last year's state budget for capital projects with the advocacy of Sitka's municipal government and both state legislators. There is a lot riding on stopping it here in Sitka. We pull alongside the Smithsonian skiff, and I go aboard to talk with Ian Davidson.
There are things in the bay here that eat it. They just don't control it.
Things like leather sea stars. Davidson is originally from the south coast of Ireland. He now works for the Smithsonian in Maryland. He designed this assault on DVEX, and it's chemical warfare. The dive teams are placing fabric domes about 8 feet square on the bottom and then pouring in either large amounts of salt, chlorine, or lime dust.
You're in 20 feet. You might need a little more slack.
Yep.
The treatments should kill the DVEX, according to Davidson and his colleague Michelle Marafini, and possibly most everything else under the dome.
If you want to try and get rid of this problem, then there'll be a temporary hit to non-target species in whiting, but all of the local species will recolonize. So this whole area would go back to the way it was without DVEX in it.
Marafini lives in California, where there are hundreds of documented invasions of various species on land, in freshwater, and in the ocean. DVEX is there too. It's also been found in Oregon and Washington. The next closest site to Sitka is about 600 miles away in British Columbia. This distance is the key to beating DVEX in Alaska.
Usually we catch an invasion kind of too late. It's already spread further than we can control. This one is isolated. It's pretty far from the next population. This is our best chance of success at kind of an eradication experiment.
The experiment exposes DVEX to high concentrations of salt, chlorine, or lime for about 4 hours. The divers will then pull up the domes, and 3 weeks later, Davidson and Marafini will return to see what agent was most effective in killing DVEX. Once they have an answer, they'll design a bay-wide attack. It takes 3 weeks to know whether you've killed DVEX. It grows in dense colonies that look like slime to the naked eye. It's sometimes called sea vomit. Tammy Davis has asked her divers, and I'm sorry to use this expression, to bring some up for me.
This color is variable. We tend to see, when it's growing on rocks, it tends to be a little more sort of cream-colored, whereas this is quite orange. It also seems like it gets this orangey color later in the summer.
DVEX is often mistaken for a native sponge, but it looks dangerous on the deck of the boat. It feels like a lab tech has pulled a vial of measles virus out of storage. The divers joke that I could take it home and put it in my aquarium. I would do it if I knew that I could kill DVEX just by pouring in some salt. We won't know if this trick works, though, for another 3 weeks.
Yeah, we'll get in touch.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Yeah, we'll get in touch with you for sure.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Kodiak Area Native Association's Tobacco Prevention and Education Program. Cano believes everyone has the right to breathe smoke-free air. More information is available at 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
And by
the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
That's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KDLG's Matt Martin, NNN's Tom Bonzi, and KCAW's Robert Woolsey. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla Deroche.